Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary, Joseph, and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
About 2 years ago, when Dana and I were living in Chicago, we moved here a couple years ago from Chicago to live in West Lafayette, I received word from my mom, who was still living in my hometown, that a good friend of mine had been diagnosed with leukemia. And this was a friend that I'd played basketball with, that I'd played football with, and who was just one of the best athletes that I ever knew. He was also one of the best musicians I ever knew. And he was one of those guys that just seemed like they were unbelievably good at everything. And I remember one Christmas when I was in high school that he was also an expert electrician. And so when I was in high school, he decided for Christmas one year to cover his S10 pickup in Christmas lights, the entire truck, and then placed an extra battery in the back and had a spinning table in the back of the truck with a Christmas tree on it. And then he had giant speakers all over his truck that blared Christmas music, and he would drive around town yelling Merry Christmas to everyone. And so this was a guy that could do anything. And so when I heard that he had leukemia, I imagined that this was just another thing that he would beat and prove how resilient he was. And so over time, we heard positive things and negative things about his condition. And at one point, we heard really positive things, that he had been released from the hospital, and we believed that everything had been cured and everything was fine. And then I got a phone call one week saying that things had gotten really bad again, that his symptoms had reoccurred, and that he was being transferred from a hospital back home to a hospital near Chicago. And so I decided to drive over to the suburb and go in and visit him. And I remember going in the hospital room and seeing him, this guy that was in tip-top physical condition, and seeing his weakened body and hearing him share with me that he was afraid of dying, that he didn't want to die, and that he had a lot of things that he wished he could continue to do. And within a couple days after I left the hospital, I told him I would come back, and I was actually planning on bringing him some DVDs that he wanted to watch, and he passed away the next day. And so I never got a chance to go back and to see him and to really tell him goodbye. This was a guy that had an entire community praying for him. He had an entire community that rejoiced when they thought he was healthy, and yet he died. It causes us all these stories, and this is just one story, and I imagine many of you have stories that are much more personal than this, that are much more fresh this year than this story, but all these types of instances in our lives call us to ask God why. Why does this happen? And we aren't the only ones that feel this way. The Bible is full of instances of people crying out to God and saying, why? The Psalms are full of examples of this. Psalm 10:1 says, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" Psalm 6:3 says, "My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord, how long?" Psalm 6, verses 6 to 7. Later in that chapter say, "I am worn out from groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes." The psalmist in all these passages throughout the Psalms feels isolated and separated. The psalmist feels like God has gone away, and in chapter 10 he even says, "God has forgotten. He covers his face and never sees." And to be honest, and I really believe this, the church has not helped at all in these circumstances. The church is a place, especially in our country, where we believe that everyone has to come and be happy. And that if you don't feel happy and you face particular tragedy, then by golly, you got to fake it. You got to act like everything's fine. You got to act like everything's good. But the Bible is full of instances where people are vulnerable and authentic before God. They cry out, God, where have you gone? So where does this leave us on the eve of Christmas Eve before this Christmas celebration? Many of us in the church usually rush to some future hope. We say to ourselves, yes, I know that my life is really difficult right now, but God has given me the opportunity to be with Him eternally. And we cling to that. We cling to some future hope for salvation. And we say that it's okay now because in the end everything will be fine. But while these truths may be true theologically, they don't give us that instant comfort that we're really seeking. And the truth is there is no magic button that we can press to make everything better. There's no intellectual thought that we can think to make all this pain go away. Often we're still left emotionally unsatisfied. But I really believe, and the one message that I want to convey very truthfully tonight, I really believe that there is true comfort that we can find this Christmas season. Even if it's not full satisfaction, I believe that we can find peace even if it's not all the answers that we're really seeking. That we can find a God that is a healer and a giver of hope. And not just a distant hope, but a real hope right now that we can find comfort in. It's important for us to recognize that Jesus wasn't just a gift for some time down the road, but He was a gift right then, right in that time, and He is to us today. And I believe Christmas is a glimpse of this. It's a glimpse to us of what God provides in times of difficulty. In Matthew's version of Jesus' birth story, we read the version from Luke, but in Matthew's version, he says, they will call Him Emmanuel. And Emmanuel just simply means God with us. They would call Jesus God with us because He was God putting on flesh, coming down to walk with us, to talk with us, to touch us, to place His hand upon us, to heal us. He laughed with us. He cried with us. And ultimately, Jesus died with us. Jesus was truly God with us. And I think sometimes when we think about the Bible, when we think about this Christian story, we even think about Christmas, we forget what it was actually like. We forget what the situation was like surrounding Jesus' birth. Mary was pregnant without a husband. She was young, pregnant, without a husband. And her and Joseph had to take the long trek from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which would have taken a week. And she was clearly close to giving birth. You can't imagine how uncomfortable that must have been to be riding on a donkey as Joseph led her for a week down the road. And the worst part about it is they finally get to Bethlehem, where they started a week ago to get to. They finally get to Bethlehem, and there's no rooms for them to stay in. Everybody has come to Bethlehem for the census. There's no room at all for them to stay. Mary then goes into labor, and they have no place for her to give birth to Jesus. And so they end up in what most scholars think a cave, a place where animals hung out. And she has Jesus in a cave with animals and places Him in a manger, a feed trough. Now, we have all these pretty pictures of Mary and Joseph and smiling with this baby and snow falling down and everybody looking happy and them celebrating their frankincense and their myrrh and their gold. But the story wasn't that great for them at that time. They had that assurance, they had that promise that Mary would be giving birth to the Savior. But the reality around them, the context, the physical circumstances were not that great. Even in this Christmas moment, we find difficulty and strife. Jesus would later grow up not to be a rich king and a ruler, but He would grow up to be a humble carpenter. He wouldn't grow up to be a great politician, but He would ultimately grow up to die on a cross, to be crucified and killed. We are not alone in our hurt and pain. We are not alone. Our God knows hurt and pain because He came to walk with us. God has always been with us. In Jesus, God came to us in the flesh, and God continues to be with us. He's not here just to fix our situations, but to walk through life with us. One psalm that you've probably heard quite a bit is Psalm 23, and it makes this clear. It says, "Even though I walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And so there are no easy answers. There's no quick fixes. There's nothing I could say to take away any of the tragedies that we've faced. But what is abundantly clear from Scripture, and what is abundantly clear through the Christmas story, is that we are not alone. We are not alone. God created us to be in relationship. And God came down to be with us in relationship. And God promises to continue to be here with us right now, to be in relationship. At the end of Psalm 10, which I read parts of earlier, the psalmist finds God amongst his trouble. He says, "But you, O God, do see trouble and grief. You consider it to take it in hand. The victim commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed in order that they who are of the earth may terrify no more." God didn't just change the world when Jesus was born. God continues to change the world. And God continues to help us find Him as the perfect light, the only true light amidst the darkness of our lives.